2 Samuel 7, verses 18 through 29. These are God's words. Then the king went in and sat down before Yahweh, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord Yahweh? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord Yahweh. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord Yahweh? Now, what more can David say to you? For you, Lord Yahweh, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord Yahweh. For there is no one like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on earth, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. For you have made your people Israel, your very own people forever. And you, Yahweh, have become their God. Now, O Yahweh God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, Yahweh of hosts is God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Yahweh of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord Yahweh, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord Yahweh, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. David here is responding to what Yahweh gave Nathan the prophet to say to him in verse 4 through 16 of this chapter. And he establishes for us, he exemplifies for us, praising God, having God's word form our praises in verses 18 through 22, having God's word form our priorities in verses 23 and 24, and having God's word form our prayers in verses 25 through 29. Verses 18 through 22, he exemplifies for us having God's word form our praises. In fact, he admits that he has no words of his own to add. If you look at verse 20, now, what more can David say to you? He's talking to the Lord Yahweh, and he says, I want to praise you, but the words that you have given are the great words with which to do so. When David had proposed to build a house for Yahweh, Yahweh had told him in verse 8 Therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says Yahweh of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. And so one of the first things that the Lord did is, after he told David that the temple idea was not one that he had commanded, one of the first things he did was he said, look how far I have brought you. And so David hears Yahweh say, look how far I have brought you, in verse 8 and 9. And he says, who am I, O Lord Yahweh, and what is my house, that you have brought me thus far? You see how his praises respond immediately to the word of God. And then he says, and yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord Yahweh, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. And so he goes on to responding to the Lord's promise about the seed that would come from David, the one who would be the forever king, even the Lord Jesus, the forever king. And so he moves on from praising God for how far he has brought him, or for how he has brought him thus far, and he goes on to praise God for the rest of what God said about the seed that would come from him. And then he says, now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord Yahweh, know your servant. And then he says, for your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. And so we see that we are to praise God, especially for those things that his word tells us he is doing for his own praise. That God decides what is praiseworthy about himself. And so we are to take our cues from scripture in praising God, to see how God presents himself, to see what God says he is doing for his own glory, to see what God says is glorious about himself, and then turn those things over to God in praise. Because who's more reliable as a judge of for what to praise God? Us, our hearts, what makes us feel good, what we think is pleasant, or what God declares about himself and what God declares he will do and what God declares he has done. God, of course, is the judge of what is praiseworthy about God. And so David exemplifies for us having God's word form our praises. But he also exemplifies for us having God's word form our priorities. Verses 23 and 24. Who is like your people Israel? Like your people, like Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people. So what's noteworthy about Israel? How great they are? No. That God decided to redeem them. Israel has not been great, but God decides to treat them greatly and to display his greatness in their redemption. To make for himself a name, to do for yourself, David says to God, great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people whom you redeemed for yourself. Notice how it's all about God, from Egypt and from the nations and from their gods. You have made your people, Israel, your very own people forever. For you, Yahweh, have become their God. This is why the church has priority for us. Not because we are so dependent upon the church, although God has appointed in the church many of the means by which he brings us to faith and grows us in faith, and a place for us to serve, etc. But the great reason why the church is our priority is because that is where God has decided to invest the display of his glory. He has set it apart unto himself as holy, That's why we call church members saints, the set-apart ones, the separated from the world and the separated unto God people. And so the Word of God forms our priorities, or must form our priorities. And when David hears the Lord say, verse 10, that not only is he going to, from verse 8, give David seed to rule over his people Israel. He says, the Lord said in verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. And verse 11, since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. And so David takes his cue. He says, God has decided that this people would be his people. And so they must have priority. They must be treated as a marvel, the people who have been separated unto God. And so he says, who is like your people, Israel? Verse 23. So God's word forms our praises. God's word forms our priorities. And God's word forms our prayers. And here, David doesn't just use words that he's heard from God. He reminds God that that's what he's doing. Now, O Yahweh God, the word which you have spoken, verse 25, establish it forever and do as you have said, verse 25. You, Yahweh of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, verse 27. You said, saying, I will build you a house, verse 27. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. You see what he's saying there? Where did he get this prayer that he's praying to God? He got it from the words that God had said to him. We need to develop this habit of turning over whatever we see in the scripture as prayer to God. When God promises something, pray that he will do it. When God commands something, pray that he will help you to obey it. And so forth. Now, O Lord Yahweh, you are God. Your words are true. You have promised this goodness to your servant. Verse 28. Your words, your promise. You, Lord Yahweh, have spoken it. Verse 29. And so you see how he keeps saying, what you have said, what you have spoken, what you said, saying, your words are true, and so forth. It's very important that we see the scripture teaching us to pray to God in the words that he has given us. So, my dear children, let God's word form your praises, that which God declares about himself as praiseworthy, that which God declares that he will do or has done that is praiseworthy. Praise him especially for those things. Let God's word form your priorities, those things that he says is most important. If he says that what he is doing in the church is the most important thing, for instance, when he says in Ephesians and Colossians that Christ has been given head over all things for the church, or that Christ being first place in the church gives him first place in all things, then you make what is going on in the Lord's church your great priority. Let God's word form your praises. Let God's word form your priorities. Let God's word form your prayers. Come to him with his own words and say, you have said this, O God, and so do this, O God. For because you have spoken it, therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, make us those who meditate in your word day and night, so that when we open our mouths to praise you, we will praise you with that which is from your word that has been mulling around in our minds and hearts. And we pray that your word would move us to be people of praise. We confess, O God, that we do not lift up our hearts to you in praise continually as we ought to. But if you would hear this prayer and if you'd help us by your Spirit, then how much more continually we would be praising you. Or is that not what your word continually moves us to do? And so help us, O God, to praise you from your word and to be moved to praise by your word. And we pray that you'd help us with our priorities, because we are focused on so many other things, and we forget that the great thing that you are doing right now is gathering and building perfecting your church, those whom you are saving, and your covenant people. Help us, O Lord, to love and serve the congregation of which you have made us a part. And help us, O God, to care very much for the purity and peace and prospering of all of the true congregations of your church. Let your church's health, let your church's faithfulness, let your church's prospering be precious to us as we see it is to you, and make your words to form our priorities. And then, O God, help us in our praying. We feel like infants before you when we pray, not knowing how to open our mouths, not knowing how to put words together. But you have just shown us that David himself, when he was at a loss and said, "What more could I say to you?" that he could turn back to those words that he had just received from you and say that you have said this and you have said that. And so help us, O God, neither to be arrogant and to think that we can put together great poetry that will somehow make great prayers, but help us also not to be despairing as if we have nothing to pray, but make us good students of your Spirit, who has given us the words of Scripture, so that we can take those words and plead them back to you and find it in our hearts to repeat those prayers to you, because you have given us confidence that everything that you say is true. So help us, O Lord, to be those who pray your words back to you, even as praying this portion of your word back to you moves us to ask for our other prayers. And so we call upon your name for this. I ask you, O God, that what we see exemplified in David here by the work of your Spirit in him, that I might see and hear it repeated in these children by the work of your Spirit in them. We thank you, O God, for hearing us. We know that you do, because of that very Christ who has been promised in this passage. And so it is in his name that we ask it. Amen.